The scripture reading this morning is from various passages in the Bible, both Old and New Testament. First of all, it's Genesis 17, where you have the establishment of the covenant of grace with Abraham, the father of all believers. I'm going to read the first 14 verses of Genesis chapter 17. And when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless, that I may make a covenant between me and you and may multiply you greatly. Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, Behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be the father of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham. For I have made you the father of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come for you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. And I will give to you and to your offspring after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, As for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised. Every male throughout your generations, whether born in your house or bought with your money from any foreigner who is not of your offspring, both he who is born in your house and he who is bought with money shall surely be circumcised. So shall my covenant be in your flesh, an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. The second one is Exodus chapter 4, verse 24 to 26. And this historical event shows how important the sign and seal of the covenant is to a child born of believing parents. This is a story about Moses. Moses, who wrote the first 5 books of the Bible, wrote this also. It really did happen. Moses had been called by God in the land of Midian, in the burning bush. He had been called to go back to Egypt. And he obeyed. And on his way back to Egypt with his wife, Zipporah, and his oldest child, which had been circumcised, and his younger son, which had not been circumcised. We don't know exactly why, but the assumption is that his wife, Zipporah, didn't want to do it. So now we read in Exodus 4, verse 24. at a lodging place on the way to Egypt, the Lord met him. That is, he met Moses and sought to put him to death. That's how serious God considered neglecting showing the sign of the covenant on his little second son. The Lord at a lodging place on the way met him and sought to put him to death. Then Zipporah took a flint and cut off her son's foreskin and touched Moses' feet with it and said, "Surely you are a bridegroom of blood to me." So he, that is the Lord, let him alone. It was then that she said, "A bridegroom of blood because of the circumcision." So that was a very serious thing, that Moses neglected that. And the Lord was minded to slay him. Moses, the man of God. The third passage is from Acts chapter 2. It's the beginning of the New Testament. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And Peter, in his Pentecostal sermon, preaches, and he says, I'm going to read from verse 36 to 41. "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him, that is Jesus, both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut in their heart, and said to the Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself.' And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, 'Save yourselves from this crooked generation.' So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls." The next passage is Galatians 3, verse 29. There Paul is saying that the Old Testament is applicable to today as well. So then, if you are Christ's, if you belong to Jesus Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring and heirs according to the promise. So that is a beautiful verse that shows that the New Testament is just as applicable to us as the Old. Both teach the covenant of grace, and that that covenant is for parents and their children. And now the last passage is Colossians 2, 11 and 12. There the Apostle Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, shows that circumcision is the same as baptism. The apostle writes, "In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands." That is a spiritual circumcision. "By the putting off of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ." How'd that happen? "Having been buried with him in baptism." So the apostle Paul says that the Colossians, who were Gentiles and who had never been circumcised, they had a circumcision made without hands when they were baptized, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. So let's look at these passages and let's look at this wonderful teaching of the Word of God, and which has been the stand of this church since its beginning. It's the stand of all Reformed churches since the Reformation. In fact, long before then. Infant baptism is certainly a solid, biblical, creedal position. Our creed, which is the Heidelberg Catechism, Belgic Confession, and the Canons of Dort. In the Belgic Confession, we read about baptism, a whole article. He has commanded all those who are to be His to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is going through the Red Sea, spiritually, in which we go through the Red Sea, through which we must pass to escape the tyranny of Pharaoh, that is the devil, and to enter into the spiritual land of Canaan. This is from the Belgic Confession. Therefore, we detest the error of the Anabaptists, who are not content with one only baptism they have once received, and moreover condemn the baptism of infants of believers who we believe ought to be baptized and sealed with the sign of the covenant, as the children in Israel formerly were circumcised upon the same promises which are made unto our children. And indeed, Christ shed His blood no less for the washing of the children of believers than for adult persons, and therefore they ought to receive the sign and sacrament of that which Christ has done for them, as the Lord commanded in the law that they should be made partakers of the sacrament of Christ's suffering and death. God commanded in the Old Testament, shortly after they were born, to offer for them a lamb, which was a sacrament of Jesus Christ. Moreover, what circumcision was to the Jews, baptism is to our children. For this reason, St. Paul calls baptism the circumcision of Christ. So far, the reading of the Belgic Confession. Before we open all these truths, let us seek God's guidance in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we pray that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may truly be exalted. We pray for our church. We pray for our elders and our deacons. And we pray, Lord, that You will guide our church in the truth of Your Word. Forgive all of our sins and keep us in the hollow of Thy hand. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear friends in Jesus Christ our Lord, infant baptism is a wonderful teaching and wonderful promise, and it's based solidly upon the Word of God. The promise of the covenant is stated in Genesis 17, and it is also reaffirmed in the New Testament, that God is our God. It is found in the writings of Paul. It's found in the book of Revelation. In the book of Revelation, we read that the blessedness of the future described in terms of the covenant. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He shall dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and He Himself shall be with them and be their God. That is the central promise of the covenant of grace. I am your God. You are my people. In baptism, God makes a promise to us. He makes a promise to little Ryan. He makes a promise to Jared and to Katie. And that promise is an everlasting promise. And where that promise is given, there is also a sign of that promise. That promise which we receive is like a promissory note. It's like a check. It's like a check that you receive. And God gives us this check. And He gave little Ryan that check this morning. And that check is made out to Ryan Oliver Huizinga. And the amount of that check, which God gave to Ryan, and also to his parents, the amount is, when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesses and seals unto us that He makes an everlasting covenant with us, with Ryan. And when we're baptized in the name of the Son, God the Son says to little Ryan, I promise to wash you from all your sins. And when we're baptized in the name of the Holy Spirit says to little Ryan, I promise to dwell in you and to incorporate you into the body of Christ. And I'm going to do that forever. That promise is an everlasting promise. Now that's the check. And it's signed by Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You heard me give the signature. I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. They stand behind this. The eternal God who created the heavens and the earth, who is our Creator God, who in Jesus Christ has reconciled His people to Himself. This God signs that check. Now, Jared and Jody and Katie have a responsibility of explaining what that check is to little Ryan as he grows up. They have to explain what that check is, what it says, the amount it commits to. God commits Himself to that. He stands behind that check. And that check will never bounce. That is, it will never be returned with insufficient funds. There always will be God's promise behind that. An everlasting promise. Now, what is the responsibility of someone who gets a check? Suppose you sell a car. And suppose the buyer gives you a check for the amount of that car. What are you going to do with that check? Are you just going to let that check sit in your drawer? Or in an envelope? What are you going to do about that check? Well, you've got to cash that check. What does cashing that check mean? Well, it means profession of faith. The question asked in profession of faith to a young person who says, I want to make profession of faith, they are asked this question. Do you openly accept the promises which were signified and sealed unto you in your baptism? Do you openly accept that as your own? Now, you would expect anybody who gets a check to go and cash it, that you may live out of what you have received. That is what we're called to do. Now, if a person says, no, I'm not good enough to make profession of faith. Wait a minute. That's not a good enough reason. We don't make profession of faith because we're good enough. We make profession of faith because God has so loved us that He gave His Son for us. We confess, yes, I've sinned and I have forsaken the Lord, but I am sorry for my sin and I believe in Jesus and I know He has saved me from my sin. But you and I must confess that openly. So that is what's all involved. Profession of faith is really the completion of baptism. And now, why do we baptize infants? Because it was commanded. It's not an option. It's not something that's neither here nor there. It is a solemn command of the Lord. And the Lord backs up that command with this story about Moses. Because Moses did not express the covenant of grace to that second child in the sacrament of circumcision because he didn't do it. He neglected it. God was minded to slay him. How would he do that? Well, maybe with a heart attack. Maybe someone would kill him. But God would do it. If you don't do this, I'm going to slay you. Now that's pretty serious. Is it a matter of salvation? Yes, it is. It is a matter of salvation. God was minded to slay Moses because he didn't do it. That's serious. And so, Jared and Katie, I thank you for doing this. I praise God for you doing this. And you received the sign and seal of baptism when your parents presented you before the Lord. And now you're doing this too. Now as we look at the children and at the wonderful comfort of knowing that the Old Testament promises are the same as the New. The Old Testament gospel is the gospel of Jesus Christ today. The mediator, Jesus Christ, He was the Savior of Abraham. Remember Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. So Abraham was saved by Jesus Christ, even though Jesus had not yet come. But he was saved by Christ. And the requirement of the Old Testament was faith, also the New. Same requirement. Abraham believed God and it was counted on him for righteousness. And the blessing of the covenant of grace, which is justification by faith, that blessing Abraham received too. You read in Genesis, Abraham believed God and it was counted on him for righteousness. Abraham was justified not by works. He was justified by faith in Jesus Christ. What a wonderful truth that is. That we are saved by grace through faith and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God. We are not saved because we deserve it. We're not saved because we earned it. We're not saved because we deserve it. No, it's a gift of God. For by grace you've been saved, and that, not of yourselves, is a gift of God. not of works lest anyone should boast, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. So the blessings which God has given in the Old Testament are just the same as the blessings in the New. So it's one. There's one book. It's the Bible. One book. The old is in the new explained. And the new is in the old contained. The Old Testament and the New Testament teach the same thing. That's why we have one holy Bible. One Bible. There's one faith, one Lord, one baptism, one God and Father who is over all, through all, and in all. That oneness is seen in baptism. That oneness that God is the God of His people, both Old and New Testament people. It is soundly founded upon the truth of God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Now there was a missionary to the Navajo Indians. His name was Reverend John Camps. And my dad was on the Foreign Mission Board and the Indian Mission Board. And he had to go to New Mexico to visit the churches in among the Navajos and the Zunis. And he knew Reverend Camps. And Reverend Camps said to him, I want to tell you a story that really happened. He said, I was giving instruction to a Navajo mother concerning the truth of the Word of God. And we went through the Heidelberg Catechism together. And we got to the end and Reverend Camps said to this Navajo mother, do you believe all that which I've taught you? Oh, yes, she said. I believe it. I know it's true. I changed from worshiping various gods to worship the one true God. He said, well, that's just wonderful. In a couple weeks, the elders are meeting, and I would like to have you come to the elders' meeting, and we'll ask you the questions concerning what we talked about, what I taught you. She said, good, I'd like to do that. And he said, then a week later, we'll have it in church. And I'll ask you the questions, and you will answer that you do believe them. And then, after you make confession of your faith, then I'm going to baptize you, because you never were baptized. And she said, that's right, that's good. And then after you're baptized, then I'll baptize your little girl. They had a little girl who was one and a half, 2 years old. And she said, oh no, you're not going to baptize my little girl. He said, well, why not? She said, well, my little girl has to grow up and she has to be instructed in all of the things that you instructed me in. And he said, no, that's not necessary. Because you're a believer, your child can receive the sign of baptism just like you do. No, she said. He said, okay. So the next elders' meeting, she was there. She made profession of faith. And the church service later was there and she made public profession of faith. But her little girl was not baptized. So about a month later, Reverend Camps came to her hogan. And he was visiting her. And in walked her sheep, her mother's sheep. And right with the mother's sheep came a little lamb. And the brand on the mother was also on the little lamb. So Reverend Camp said to this Navajo mother, "So, I see you bought a little lamb." "No, I did not buy a little lamb." "Someone must have given you a little lamb." "Nobody gave me a little lamb." He said, "The brand on the mother sheep is also on the baby sheep, the little lamb. But you didn't buy it? No one gave it to you? Why does it have that?" "Well, because it was born of my sheep. And my sheep belongs to me. I got my brand on my sheep, but the baby born of my lamb, of my sheep, also belongs to me, and I got the brand on that baby too." Reverend Cam said, "Right. You're absolutely right. A month ago, you were baptized. God put His brand on you by water. And God, by that brand, says, 'You are mine.' Don't you think that your little daughter, born of you, doesn't she belong to God too? Just like your lamb belongs to you and the brand on the mother is the brand on the baby? Don't you think your little girl has to have the brand of God on her?" "That's baptism." The mother said, "You're right. When can that happen?" Reverend Cam said, "Next Sunday. We'll do it next Sunday. And you can present your little girl for baptism. And she will receive the brand of God, the mark of God." In the Old Testament, the mark was circumcision. It was an everlasting mark, never to be undone. You can't undo that. But in the New Testament, baptism takes its place. And your little girl will receive the brand of God, that God claims it for its own. Isn't that a wonderful truth? I mean, God is so good. Though our children do not understand this, we may not deny them the wonderful privilege of baptism. So as we sang, "Our children, Lord, in faith and prayer, we now devote to Thee. May they Thy covenant mercies share. And we share that same faith. This is our faith. This is our belief. This is our stand." And everyone said, "Amen." Dear Father in heaven, bless this word onto our hearts today. We thank You, Lord, for the marvelous comfort of knowing that the covenant of grace is extended to believing parents and their children. Lord, bless us this day. We pray for Jared and Katie and their precious little Ryan Oliver. Hear us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.